So as I'm going to start the message, it's going to be sort of a little bit of a different start, and then we'll lead into the passage. And I wanted to touch a little bit on, as I was praying, just touch about the gifts of the Spirit, things like words of knowledge, healing, miracles, hearing God's voice, and how there's an importance to that. And sometimes, you know, when we hear for ourselves, I think that's good, but, you know, once in a while, it's like, am I hearing God? Is that God speaking to me, or you know, what's going on? But there's also times when God speaks to you on behalf of someone else. And I've seen, like, many times sort of here where, you know, someone has received a word, and it was just, it actually shifted something in their life. I actually don't know who the person was, but they received a prayer and a word like in the fall of, this is like a few years ago, and they were back in the spring, and they went to prayer for the same person. And they said, that word that you gave me last fall, it carried me through the year. It was a student, I don't know who it was, but it carried them through the year. And so I want us to think about how God supernaturally speaking to us and working in us, how there's a power of transformation in that. And so I'm gonna, Ratchet, if you can cue that video. So we're gonna watch it, we're gonna start with a video. It's actually about 6 minutes long, so it's a little long. It's about the speaker that's coming, Bob, this weekend. Now, while you're watching this, I'd like you to do a couple things. I just think about how it's affecting you, whether it's like in your heart, like emotionally, or in your mind. And we're actually gonna do a little interaction after, okay? I'm gonna ask a couple questions. And then we'll continue on into Isaiah 55. So Ratchet, if you want to go ahead and play that. So a few of you, I'll repeat back just so people online can hear, just a few of you, what's going on when you see that? What do you feel? What do you think? All right, so Ian said, God can move greater than our expectations. That's good. Yeah, so Zilly was saying that. Yeah, he's seen it before and it just stirred him, but that God knows us by name, and he knows us. He knows what we're going through. He knows who we are. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to get in trouble for that. Not too high. I don't know what's going to happen, right? Yeah, God's working all the time. We may not be paying attention. Go ahead, Trish. Yeah. So God will still do miracles. He hasn't changed. So a couple weeks ago, we heard a story from Maureen shared a testimony in Africa, right, which is great. So Bob's just south of the border. He's just in Washington, right? So he's nearby. Anyone else? Maybe a couple more. So Carolee is saying God knows exactly what we need, maybe not exactly what we want, but what we need. And then one more over. Who's it? Oh, that's Sarah. Oh, okay. I'll do two more. That's fine. Sarah first, and then beautiful. So Sarah is saying that she had that summer feeling. I don't want to fall down, but there's sometimes a letting go. Right, a letting go and letting God do what he wants to do. Miriam, go ahead, be last one. So skeptical. Yeah, well, I'm sure you're gonna have some time to ask him. Yeah, next week for sure. But skeptical, I have tons of questions. Actually, I really appreciate that because for some people, this would be like, it's kind of fantastical, right? To see like this in a, like, is it hard to believe? I think that's a very legitimate and fair thing to be looking at and struggling with. I've seen bits and pieces, but you know, and there's some stories that I'm like, really, did that happen? I can relate. So, okay, I'm gonna I'll just read this. I said, okay, the goal is not to see miracles, healing, or words of knowledge. And I wanna issue a caution about becoming enamored with the gifts. And for some of those of us who've been around in the city for a long time and in certain circles, I think that actually happened to many of us in the 90s, and I think we lost sight a little bit. The goal is that we see Jesus, and he becomes our all in all, that we fall in love with him. I do think, though, that when we see more of Jesus and share his heart, we will see more kingdom breakthrough, however that looks. And I appreciate what Monica said just as we were kind of worshiping at the end, that, you know, maybe some of you sense a blanket. What does that look like for you? But there will be signs and wonders. Things will happen. And these gifts are meant to point to Jesus in the church and beyond. Why? So that we would see the goodness of God and that there's more kingdom breakthrough led by the King. And when that happens, I believe people say, you know, there is a God in that place. So I feel like we're kind of in this, you know, this season of times of refreshing, the name of the conference, sort of the season we're in, and we're sort of on this road to Emmaus, and we want to encounter the living Christ. And maybe it will be in ways that we haven't experienced. Okay, we're going to jump into Isaiah 55 if we will start. I'm going to just kind of walk through it. We'll see if I get through the whole thing, conscious of time, but let's see how far we get. And I appreciated the message version. I didn't actually look at that when I was preparing. That was really great. Thanks for sharing that. So the title of the message, sometimes I just have the scripture, this one I have a title, is Come, Listen, Seek. And I want to share three images in Come, Listen, and Seek. And let's see if this resonates for some of you. And kind of the structure of this chapter, or at least the structure that I put is our, kind of the first part is our call to follow God's ways. And then the third thing is like the result of us following God and God's ways being accomplished. So let's read a first little section here. It says, Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? So this is kind of sort of the first section of our call to follow. And in that section, we have these three images. And so the first one, it says, is come. And so as I was praying, I had this image. So think about this image of Jesus calling us to come. Think of the banqueting table or a banqueting table with food on it. And that you're invited to come to this banqueting table. What's on the table? Who's at the table? What are the surroundings? Would you sense yourself rushing to it, or would you be hesitant? A table has been set, and all are invited, and Jesus has paid the price. And it's an invitation. You know, no one is forced. No one is forced to go to the table. Psalm 34:8 says, Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I like in the video where he talks about, like, the people he was talking about in the prison, they're pretty rough guys, right? I mean, there's a reason they're in prison, but they're pretty rough. But there was also, it felt like a humility as he's sharing the story. And I would propose to you that anyone who comes through these doors is invited to have a chance to sit at the table and taste and see that he is good. Now, while I was praying this week, and it hit me again this morning, where a few of us were praying before the service, and again, I felt God was saying that there's some of us, we're actually hesitant to come to that table. And as I prayed, I was like, why? I mean, God just, he didn't give me anything. So he just showed me that piece that some are hesitant to come to the table. And if that's you, potentially you, I want to encourage you, just sit in that and think about, why am I hesitant to come to the table? And maybe today, if you're like, yeah, I'm kind of holding back. I don't know if I want to come to the table. Or maybe I just want to grab a little morsel off the table. Come ask the Lord to help you with that, because there's probably reasons why. And it's okay, right? It's okay, right? Remember, Jesus is not pushing us to the table. He's inviting us. How much do we get to taste in the here and now is a question I like to ask. I don't know, but I would always say that we can taste more and that he continues to invite us again and again. And at the same time, it's like, it's interesting, right? The kingdom, there's lots of like things that are held in tensions, things that are paradox and all that. At the same time, we want to be grateful for what God has done and what he's doing right now, but also not be complacent and just say, this is it. This is as good as it gets, that there is more. And what's beautiful here is, and Monica, well, when you read it, Monica, it was actually, I like the way it was worded. What does it cost you? It costs you nothing, right? In the scripture, it says here, it says buy. It's using the word buy, right? Normally, you need money to buy, but here it's like, this is not a normal transaction. It's free. It's the Lord's gift for you to come to the table and receive from him what you can't buy. You're not able to buy it. You can't, and you can't earn it. It's a free gift. And then he talks about why spend money on what does not satisfy. And I think this is, maybe for some of us, the Westerners in the room, I wonder if this is hard to see. And if we have so much stuff, if we look to so many of the things of this world to satisfy us, that maybe give a little bit of satisfaction, but not really what we need. And I think it's easy to get sidetracked and blinded by some of those things. And what are some of the things that are holding us back? Or what are the things that do not satisfy? Is it stuff, possessions, unforgiveness? And I think that's, again, why we continue to need fresh encounters with Jesus. The things that of this world cannot truly satisfy our soul. If we think about Solomon, those of you who know about Solomon, he was really wise, but he also said he was going to try everything he could. So in Ecclesiastes 2, 10 and 11, he says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was a reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And so Solomon, being a king, he had the resources, you know, like he was super rich. He could, you know, there's no yachts then, but whatever. He could, you know, the equivalent of, he could have that. He could have anything he wanted. He tried it all, and in the end, it did not satisfy his soul. So that's the first picture of come. The second one is listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. One version, it says, incline your ear. Okay, so here's our second picture. Think of John the Apostle. This is at the Last Supper. And he's resting on the chest of Jesus, listening to him. I just think of that picture of, can you imagine it? Wouldn't that be great if, like, maybe that would actually, you know, you think the story we just saw shocked us. I mean, if Jesus just appeared right here and I could lean on his chest, that would freak us all out. But could you, the picture of John leaning on there, you know, feeling his breath, hearing his heartbeat, and listening to him, that place of closeness and intimacy, what would that be like? Is that available to us? In a measure, yes. Obviously, Jesus isn't here, you know, in the flesh. And in that passage, I can't remember the word it said when you read it in the message, but I wanted to touch on that. It said, it's like not all food is good, right? All spiritual food is good, but we can also eat a lot of garbage, right? There's times where we feed ourselves. I mean, I'm not saying literally, although literally we can too, but... we may watch something, we may expose ourselves to something, and I don't know about you, but afterwards it's like, you know, that just didn't sit right, and maybe it's because I'm getting older, but like, I can watch some shows that are, you know, a bit more violent now, it's like, I can't watch that. And I think as we become more sensitive to him, things that may have seemed okay at one time will actually feel like garbage compared to our intimacy with Christ. And that's a good thing. And so we come to the table and we listen with our head upon Jesus. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you do not know. And nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here, but it's fascinating because this was written like 700 BC. And this is being fulfilled now, right? Nations are coming to Christ. right? People from every tribe and tongue and nation. And David, like it's referring to David, the covenant to David. What's interesting about the covenant with David is usually a lot of times, not all of them, but a lot of the covenants, it's like, if you do this, then this will happen. This one's not like that. This is actually more like a promise, because God is saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. In 2 Samuel 7:16, it says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Okay, so that's not talking about literally David. It's talking about his lineage, and that throne is being established forever by Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of that, and that throne is in the process of being established forever. Okay, we're going to come to our third picture. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. So he says, come to the table, listen, be at the chest of Jesus. Now seek. Seek as a kind of like searching for a hidden treasure maybe in the ground. My grandfather, years ago, he had the inclination, he was a little different, to go dig for gold in his backyard. So, and he's no longer in France, he's passed away, but this is in France. And so he went and dug for gold in his yard, and he found gold. He found a gold ring. And it was a signet ring. So it was a woman's ring. So my mom has it, and I've bugged her. It's like, you should try to figure out what it is, because it has like the wax seal, you know, you can do the wax seal. And so he went and dug for gold and found gold. I don't know why he did that, but he found gold. And so think of that picture of us searching out. If you were looking for a treasure, you know, and each of these you could do as an exercise later on as you reflect on it, what would the terrain look like as you're searching right now? What is the treasure? Right? Sometimes we can just say, yeah, it's Jesus, right? But sometimes he gives us gifts as well. What would the weather be like? Would it be hidden in a particular spot? I was praying before, and I was looking out the window from the office up there, and I saw a tree there, and what came to mind is like, maybe it's kind of under the roots here, and I got to dig down and get this treasure, and maybe it's like a seed there or something like that. But what does God have for you as we seek him? Earlier in Isaiah, he challenges us, and as we talked a bit about Isaiah, there's a lot of rough spots, right? Because read through it in one setting, and you'll see there's a lot of awesome stuff in the second half and the first half of lots of judgment. But he says in Isaiah 31:1, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in a multitude of chariots and in great strength of their horses, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Right? So that's a part of seeking the Lord. Yes, you're searching for treasure, but it declares our dependence upon him. And the scriptures often tell us to inquire of the Lord. And I want to appreciate Enoch and Ian up here talking about looking for a new pastor. Essentially, it's like, who are you setting apart for this church? And seek the Lord and inquire. We need his guidance. We constantly need him. While he may be found. So there's even this little bit of sense of urgency. We need to do this. Sometimes there's a time limit on some of these things. We need to do this, a sense of urgency while he may be found. Call upon the Lord. Seek him. In verse 7, it said, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them who turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts in your thoughts. So there's a section here about, you know, forgiveness, and then it starts shifting into God's ways, right? My thoughts, my ways. And so as we come, listen, and seek, some of this, why are we doing this? Why? Because we are limited to the boundaries of our own minds and talents. And even within those boundaries of our talents that God has given us, we are flawed. And I think the very reason that we come, listen, and seek is that God's ways and thoughts are so different than ours. And it declares our dependence on his ways. Gideon's army made no sense. God keeps sending people away until there was an army of 300 to face an opposing army of thousands. And this is what God speaking to Gideon says in Judges 7:2. It says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast against me. My own strength has saved me.'" And I think that there's an important lesson in that for us. Is that, are we just trying to use our own gifts and talents to, you know, see, make the kingdom come? Of course God wants us to use our gifts and talents, but is that our source for having a successful church, whatever that means? And I want to propose, we are obviously in this season of transition and change, and things could look quite different here in the next few months. And I know sometimes change and transition can be difficult. For some of you, you're just like, yeah, this is great, let's just go. Others, just like, what's going on? Are we going to hold on to certain ways of doing things? Can the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants in our midst? Is that scary? It's actually okay if it is. I've had some experience that I've been like physically shaking and stuff like that. I'm actually quite self-conscious of that. I'm kind of like, a little bit like Bob. Like, well, I don't think he was necessarily embarrassed, but you know, shaking or falling down, that to me is a little bit scary. I'm not saying that that's going to happen or not. But when we watch the video, think of Bob was probably not expecting what happened to him to happen. He just went, felt God wanted him to go and went. And he says an interesting statement. He says, "I don't want to lose control to these people." Love that. "But I will to the Holy Spirit." And I think this is why we need supernatural interventions in our lives. That his ways supplant our ways. That there's actually a transaction an exchange of our ways to God's ways. Our ways to God's ways. And we're all pretty limited, right? We're all pretty limited. I know I'm limited. I always think of myself a pretty simple guy. We were taking the leadership class. Some of us are taking a leadership class at Monica. Great job. She's doing a great job. And I'm an okay leader. I've got some gifts to lead. And I'm like, wow, there's so much more to know. And I think part of this call for us is actually, at essence, is a call to humility. Because we actually don't really know that much. We don't know as much as we think we do. We actually know very little. And so it means we're really dependent on Jesus. We're dependent upon Jesus to bring transformation to our lives. Let's carry on. I'm going to go to verse 10. It says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Now, I love this. You know, we've had some images of water. We have the times of refreshing here. And again, there's an idea of life coming as the imagery of water is coming. As God comes, there's flourishing in this. And so there's a tension here, because it's saying, my word will go forth and it's going to accomplish its purpose, right? The word that God is speaking. And so there's a part of this that we can actually rest in that. We can actually rest in that and realize that God is the initiator. And then we can respond to that initiating, right? So there's a both. Come, listen, seek. And remember that God is in control and that we can trust him. I'm going to finish up. "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." Wes, you can start coming up. This is the third thing. The result of us, the two things, the result of us following God's way and God's ways being accomplished. There's joy, there's peace, creation will rejoice, there's transformation. Think of the seeds being planted. We talked a little bit about that last week. The juniper and the myrtle. And remember, when we're looking in prophetic literature, if we see the word that says everlasting, we are looking ahead to the age to come. So sometimes the joy doesn't come right away, but there is a time that joy is coming. And so I want to encourage us to heed Jesus' invitation in Luke 14:7. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, come, for everything is now ready. And I want to encourage us to come. Come to him. Even if you're hesitant, bring your hesitation. Bring your questions. Let's take some time to worship the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Oh, thank you. I'll just repeat real briefly, just for the people online. Audrey had the sense that, you know, maybe God was just asking you to hold his hand, just to hold his hand, and he would do something. So if there's any other words, I'll let you talk to Monica. So we'll worship for a bit, and then I'll let, you know, Monica, your leader on deck. And so let's take some time to worship.